You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio. Census Bureau.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Gym Class here on KGYM as we take you through this Wednesday, May 13th, and the 3 o'clock hour. Scott Unash from our studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Buttons on the other side of the glass here today, doing sterling work as usual. And Mark Dukes joining us from his home on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. You are as close as a text line available to you at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. And again, today we let you know 1600 AM has been down for maintenance. And so it has been up at times, but when it's being worked upon, it will be down. We encourage you to listen on 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, as well as 107.5 FM, the Gym OT, and in Iowa City, 106.3 FM. Thank you very much. We do appreciate it. You can also listen to us on the stream at KGYMradio.com. If you have the KGYM Radio app, more than happy to bring our signal to you as well, and all your devices as well. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon, Scott. Hope you and Buttons are doing well, and looking forward to the next hour as usual.
Yeah, I got a good show for you here today. Bob Herrig, senior golf writer for ESPN.com, is going to be joining us. Plenty to talk about as far as golf is concerned. About a month from now, the golf season will resume down at the Charles Schwab Challenge. That will be down at Colonial in Fort Worth, Texas. Without a gallery, we'll talk about that. PGA Tour came out today and said that there would be only one test period per event as far as the PGA Tour is concerned, and maybe that due to the fact that obviously being outside, there's not going to be a gallery for the first four. We'll find out the reasons behind that with Bob Herrig and talk about Zach Johnson and his appointment as the vice captain to the U.S. Ryder Cup team that will hopefully be played up at Whistling Straits later on in the fall. And we will talk about that coming up in just a little bit. And, of course, the news of the day around our neck of the woods anyway is that our long nightmare with long hair may be over soon, Mark.
Yes, indeed. Governor Kim Reynolds will open the remaining 22 counties that were not previously open. That will come on Friday. It comes with many restrictions. I've read through the official statement as it applies to various restaurants, salons, racetracks, what have you, and familiarized myself pretty well with them. Bars cannot open, casinos cannot open. And we know nothing more about youth sports or the high school summer season. She was the first question Kim Reynolds took today was about whether she had been in contact with the Boys Association or the Girls Union. And she kind of tiptoed around that, said she's still, you know, collecting data and whatnot, and didn't really, wasn't really specific about any interaction with those two organizations, let alone, you know, can youth sports, you know, be played at a certain date. So those uncertainties are still out there. And I don't know, how can you go to a barbershop and not play a baseball game? I know you need a haircut, Scott.
I do.
But
I do. 319-366-1600. If you would like to weigh in, that is our text line here at KGYM Studios. We do appreciate you reaching out to us. And, well, you're right. And there are, you got to go through each and every one of the proclamations. There's no doubt about that. And I guess I'm taking this, it's another positive step. I know some people, and that's fine, are thinking that this is the wrong move. Kim Reynolds put out everything today on the basis of why this is going on. And, you know, this is what our leader is saying. So we must adhere to it. I guess that would be the way I would look at it at this point anyway. But it is a step forward, and not just because we need a haircut.
You know, I don't know if this is the right move or not, but it is what it is. And we're going to see what happens. You know, the too soon crowd is always going to, you know, say too soon. I've come to understand that. This could be a very good thing. It could be a not so good thing, depending on what happens. I've been fond recently of saying these reopenings, whether it's on a local or a national level, are litmus tests. We don't know until we try something. And I was going to try some things under Governor Reynolds' direction. Sports, you know, not so much on the local and state level, at least as of right now. But these next 2 weeks, I think the Boys Association and Girls Union are going to have to make some very tough and well thought out decisions in terms of baseball and softball, reopening high school weight rooms, as Nebraska has done as of June 1st. As we've gone along these 2 months, there's constant developments, and there will continue to be so, and we'll react to them, bring them to you, and you're certainly welcome to interact with us again, 319-366-1600.
First question coming from Wiggy today, our friend Wiggy. Do you guys know if Prairie Meadows will be able to have horse races?
That is the plan. It goes along with auto racing provisions. I think it's letter L in the proclamation today, if I remember right.
Yep.
And resume without fans.
Yes, without fans.
And this hits home to you, I know, in one of your new positions and local auto racing. So.
There are tracks that are going to have races this weekend, and they are, in fact, I know one that of those tracks was in a county that was closed, is now open, and hopefully everything will go according to plan. Prairie Meadows, along with racetracks, other places, they have to still adhere to health guidelines. And very stringent health guidelines as far as social distancing and cleanliness, et cetera, are concerned. And it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out starting this week. But as soon as the go-ahead was given, there, yes, racetracks, I know, around the state of Iowa certainly got things going.
And with a lot of precautions and limitations, as you well know, that are going to have to be adhered to in terms of limited pit crews and distancing and whatnot. Again, it's another facet of sports and life that we're going to have to track and see what happens.
Very much so. 319-366-1600. That is the text line here today. I'm going to talk to Bob Herrig, talk some golf here in about 12 minutes or so. We mentioned about the PGA Tour. They're going to, and we'll talk about this with Bob, they're going to have one test per event, the way it sounds. PGA Tour coming out with everything that they are going to be looking for today. So we'll talk about that with Bob here in a little bit. Football news today. The LA Rams unveiled, and we've had a great unveiling period of uniforms for the NFL for the hopeful 2020 season anyway. The Rams paraded out their new uniforms today, and I think we took a giant step backwards, but that's just my Blackwell opinion of that. What's wrong with the what you had? It looked really good, and I'm not so sure this does, but whatever.
I think it reminds me of something you'd see on a Metro Youth football field.
Yeah.
Not that they don't have good uniforms.
No, I'm not saying that. You're
no,
not saying that.
But I think it was a very sophomoric look, so.
I think it was the worst of the whole bunch that was paraded out as far as this offseason is concerned. And If you haven't seen it, it is out there on websites. CBS.com has it, NFL.com, etc. The Las Vegas Raiders, which is still strange and bizarre to say, let everybody know today they are sold out for the 2020 season, the inaugural season in what, Allegiant Stadium is what I believe the Las Vegas Stadium is being called, and they are not cheap seats, ladies and gentlemen. We'll have to ask next time we talk with him, our friend in Las Vegas, if he is one of the season ticket holders for the Las Vegas Raiders. I doubt if he is.
Well, we'll see if those season ticket holders can actually go to a game, right?
Yeah, that's going to be. And there are more rumblings as far as the National Football League is concerned that perhaps the Los Angeles teams are going to play somewhere else. And that would definitely throw a monkey wrench. If Los Angeles and California is not open, how are they going to play? And they may have to go to Las Vegas to play their home games. We shall see. That would be the Chargers and those brilliant new uniforms on the LA Rams.
Yeah, and in baseball, Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida said, if you can't play in your state regarding baseball, I think he was saying, or maybe every sport, we'll accommodate you in Florida. I'm not sure how that will actually work, but yeah, interesting, because I think there's a stay-at-home order in California through quite some time. I'd have to revisit that, but it could very well be the Los Angeles teams don't play in L.A.
Well, there's talk the college teams won't play there either. In fact, it was announced yesterday or late yesterday that the Cal State University system is going to be online for the fall. That has already been designated on May the 12th. And so that affects several teams in the Mountain West as far as college football is concerned. How is that going to play out? I know Paul Feinbaum was on ESPN programming on ESPN Radio. Excuse me. And he talked about the fact that he believes it's going to be survival of the fittest maybe this fall. You're either going to play or you're not going to play, and you're going to be left behind and probably stampeded. And not only your football program stampeded. Not sure why I have a tickle in my throat here. Your entire athletic program probably going to be stampeded as well. We, of course, found out yesterday the MAC has already said that eight of their sports are not going to conduct conference tournaments starting next year. Their basketball will be curtailed to 8 teams instead of everyone participating. So dominoes are starting to fall. Dominoes are starting to fall as far as college athletics are concerned.
Yeah, and it's very interesting, I think. As our text line points out, LA County will be on a stay-at-home order for the next 3 months, and we know what's happened in Oregon. The Oregon governor has said they're not going to play college football games. If they are being held, there will be no fans through September. And meanwhile, Arizona, its schools are in the Pac-12. They're going to reopen to sports come Friday, I believe. So, I mean, within each and every conference, it's very interesting because, for example, in the Big Ten, you have largely rural communities like those at Iowa and Nebraska, and then you have Maryland and Rutgers from densely populated areas, and of course Northwestern, being at Evanston near Chicago, is very
Ohio State dense, too. Dense,
Ohio State as well. So it kind of, and I know we noticed yesterday's statement by the NCAA president, Mark Emmert, about what the NCAA position is going to be as well.
Yeah. And Mark Emmert, of course, and that was yesterday that you mentioned, leaving return to football up to states and college presidents and saying that the NCAA is not going to get involved for the most part. So, yeah, it could be the Wild West. It could be Thunderdome, man.
as far as Emmert and the NCAA, normally, I don't think the NCAA does a whole lot of good things. And normally I would you know, oppose Emmert's reasoning. But I think the NCAA is taking it, especially when the NCAA itself is the one that shut down spring sports. Well, you know, hey, Mark, college football, colleges under operate under the NCAA umbrella. Why don't you take the lead? Well, I think he's right or wrong operating it like the federal government is and leaving so many things up to the states. And personally, I think that's smart because we just talked about three states within one conference that are, you know, operating totally differently. And it's going to be not only the governor's decisions, probably not the governor's decisions, but health officials in each state, they're going to have to make some recommendations and whatnot, and the college presidents will follow. Principal among those things is whether students return to campus. And in many, many schools, they're going to return to campus, thereby maybe paving the way for a college football season. But it's entirely possible other universities, and you mentioned the Cal State system, among others, that may not be the case. So we may see a really crazy landscape in college football this year.
Yeah, it will be. It's not going to be normal, for sure. Even if it is played on time in the fall, will we have teams that just won't play? There's already talk. A well-known sports host last night said that he has it on very, very good terms that the Alabama-USC game is not going to be played, and that Alabama instead is going to play TCU. Now, that came out yesterday, and the aforementioned national talk show host has been wrong before. So I'm just going to leave it at that, but that is what they are saying from two very reliable sources.
Would his initials be PF?
No.
No, not Feinbaum, huh?
No. No, not Paul. Oh. Not okay. Paul. 319-366-1600. We're going to talk to Bob Herrig coming up here in just a little bit. We talked a lot about baseball yesterday. Thank you very much for tuning in. We do appreciate it. Podcast available to you at kgymradio.com. Button says, nods ahead, says, yes, it is. We talked about DH. It sounds like the universal DH, at least for one season, is becoming more and more closer to becoming a reality if and when baseball comes back, the major league style anyway, as far as 2020 is concerned.
Well, that's the reports that we see right now among them on CBS Sports, that the owners and players are pretty much going to agree on the use of the universal DH for the upcoming season that is hopeful. So that one of many planks on the owner's proposal to the players, and I think that's one thing checked off the box, at least for 1 year. And you know what, National League?
Who knows? It may never come back.
Be careful, Mikey. You might like it.
I'm just saying. I'm not saying for sure. Not telling you what you should think. I'm just saying that things have gone away before and never came back. Just saying that. Just throwing that out there for everyone. 322. Coming up on 322, we'll talk more about these topics and more, but we're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and when we return, we're going to talk about the PGA Tour. We'll talk a little bit about Cedar Rapids native Zach Johnson as well. Bob Herrig, senior golf writer for ESPN.com, set to join us, so stay tuned. More to come on the Gym Class right here on KGYM.
Mother Nature's giving us all we can handle, and when it rains, it hails.
McGrath Family of Dealerships has over 2,000 new and pre-owned vehicles with minor to major hail damage. Marked down hundreds, even thousands off.
Combined with unheard of factory incentives, it's affordability when you need it most.
No payments up to 6 months, with 0% financing up to 84 months on the best new vehicles in our lineup.
And minor dings mean major discounts on pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs.
Every make, model, and budget of used cars.
It's a great time to be looking for a vehicle, and McGrath is making it easier than ever.
Stay safe and let us come to you.
Over the phone or in your driveway, we're here and ready to help with the convenience you deserve.
When it rains, it hails, and you save thousands on over 2,000 new and used vehicles in stock.
We can help. Text 319-774-4127 or get started online, McGrathAuto.com.
Reimagine your outdoor living space with Alexander Lumber and Trex. Choose the enduring beauty and durability of Trex composite decking. It's engineered to eliminate time-consuming maintenance while providing superior scratch, fade, and stain resistance. In other words, you spend much less time taking care of your deck and a whole lot more time enjoying it. The experts at Alexander Lumber or Answers by Alexander will help you create the deck of your dreams. Contact them today to start the design process. Alexander Lumber and Answers by Alexander, both in Iowa City.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
Economic stimulus payments will be hitting your bank account soon. In fact, nearly $200 million will be coming to area households. You might need that money for rent, mortgage, utilities, even food. But if you don't, KGYM encourages you to think of the thousands of local businesses being impacted right now. Waiting to spend those dollars at your favorite place when we're all on the move again? That'll be a huge boost for them and our economy. If you don't need it for necessities, save your stimulus and shop locally. It could mean millions of dollars for the corridor.
During the COVID-19 pandemic, Iowa law prohibits price gouging. It is illegal to charge excessive prices for goods and services needed by disaster victims. This applies to items sold in stores, on social media, or online. Iowa Attorney General Tom Miller will pursue price gouging complaints, and businesses or individuals found in violation could face penalties of up to $40,000. Report price gouging at iowaattorneygeneral.gov or 888-777-4590. Furnished by the Iowa Broadcasters Association.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brammelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
And Todd and Alex coming your way next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock this evening, as it'll be the Todd Brammelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way right here on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us here today. Scott Unash along with Mark Dukes. Buttons on the other side of the glass here today. And text line available to you at 319-366-1600. 319-366-1600. I'm going to bring in friend of the show, one of our favorite guests, Bob Herrig, senior golf writer for ESPN.com, joining us here on a cloudy Wednesday in eastern Iowa. Bob, hope you're safe and well. How you doing?
Very well. How are you guys today?
Not bad. Not bad. It's about a two-club win today, I think. So got to be careful of that if you're out playing.
Absolutely. Yep. Glad to be out playing if possible.
Yeah, and most of the country, I think, is out playing and, of course, maintaining social distancing and whatnot. And I think that's good for everybody's psyche, especially for us golfers out there.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. It gives you a little bit of, you know, sort of just a little way to get away from all the other worries that we have these days. And, you know, I live in Florida where, you know, golf only in certain spots is shut down, and we've been able to play here. And, you know, I've found it to be very enjoyable, very safe. You know, I'm not recommending anybody do it if the rules aren't being followed. You know, it's not a good idea to share a golf cart or share clubs and things if it's not your family. But if it's done right, you know, if you can pay over the phone and get in a sanitized golf cart or even walk, which is better, obviously, carry your own bag or pull a cart. You know, you're with three other people for 4 hours. You know, that's it. You don't have to go close. You don't have to get close to them. You know, it's safer than probably being in the grocery store right now with all the people that are in there. So, you know, hopefully people are able to find a way to get out, do it the right way, and enjoy it.
Bob, news yesterday that Zach Johnson from Cedar Rapids, picked as one of the vice captains for the Ryder Cup team. I think his third appointment to an international team as a vice captain anyway. And Would you agree with us that this moves him one step closer to captaincy on either President's or Ryder Cup teams?
No question about it. This is the, this is sort of the roadmap they laid out after 2014 when they felt their, when they just felt that the captains and the assistants, there wasn't enough continuity. And as you've seen since then, basically with all the teams, President's Cup and Ryder Cup, there are vice captains and captains who serve in both roles. And the idea is so that when it's your turn, things don't change too much. You've been there, you've seen it, you've done it. I wouldn't be surprised if Zach is the President's Cup captain next year, which hasn't been announced yet, I don't believe. No, it hasn't. They announced Trevor Hillman as the international side. And, Zach, I could very well see being named to that position. And so he'll have had three, vice captaincies under his belt, before that. And he'll have worked with several different previous captains. So it makes all the sense in the world. I know there's some sentiment, why do we keep doing the same thing when they keep losing? Well, they don't lose the President's Cup. And the Ryder Cup has the reason that they lost in Paris is not because the captains or the assistant captains weren't right. It was because the players played poorly. They got nothing out of Tiger and Phil and DeChambeau, their captain's picks. Could they have picked other guys? Certainly. But at the time, those picks certainly didn't look bad. So I think this is the way they're doing it. The players want to know what to expect. That was their big gripe. And so now they're going to have a guy that they're very, very comfortable with as an assistant again. And then, down the road, a captain at either a competition or both.
It would be a great way, and I don't want to say for Zach to, the cherry on top of his career, because I know he doesn't want to hear that. He still wants to play very good golf, and he would love to be a playing captain if he could. But boy, oh boy, as far as his resume is concerned throughout his golf career, that would be the cherry on top of the sundae.
Yeah, it really would. And I'm sure he feels he has a lot of good golf left in him. And this break maybe now has been giving him a chance to reset a little bit. I think when you're in these roles, I think there's incentive to step up your game a little bit and show the guys that you can still play. So there's no reason why he can't, he's still a heck of a player. So maybe it's a boost for him in a way as well.
Okay, Bob, before we get to what's going to happen on the tour when it resumes at Colonial, correct me if I'm wrong. Because of the shortened season this year, will the exemptions roll over? And this it affects Zach because he's in the last year of his 10-year exemption, although I think he has a world money stipulation he could actually use. But is that true, and how would it affect guys like Zach and the Korn Ferry Tour players?
Yeah, in Zach's case, he's going to be fine. That exemption is going to carry over for a year, so he won't have to use a money exemption if he weren't in the top 125. And basically, what they've done is the guys who don't have a great year, they're going to be fine. They're going to be fully exempt next season. It's the Korn Ferry guys who kind of get the short stick here. They're not going to have a graduating class. They're going to have a stipulation where the top 10 at the end of their tour championship will have full access to the secondary events, the opposite events and some lower level events. And then they'll keep their status on the Korn Ferry, and which is actually going to roll over into another season. It's going to be one big long season for them. So, for the guys on that tour who got off to really good starts, they'd only played you know, a handful of events, but those guys kind of have some bad luck going there because now they have to sustain that level of play the rest of this year and next year. And while they'll get some PGA Tour starts next year if they want them, you know, now you're looking at having to play both tours, or do you make sure that you try to keep your corn, get it through the Corn Ferry, you try to get on the PGA Tour. So it's tough. I mean, but I think we all understand what's going on here. It's there's no easy answers in this situation that we're all facing.
Bob Herrig, senior golf writer, ESPN.com, joining us on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class here at 3:33. And you mentioned the resumption of the season. We're about a month away from that. It will happen in Fort Worth at Colonial. And more news breaking today as far as rules and regulations that the PGA Tour is going to adhere to. And it's not going to be the first of the sport to come back. But it's certainly going to be interesting in its own right. What are you expecting when the PGA Tour comes back, sans galleries?
Very, very interesting to see how it unfolds. There's so much mystery out there still with what's happening in the world, and I understand their want to get back. You know, I think we all want to get back, but it's not going to be normal. It's going to be far from it, you know. And these guys are going to be playing and no spectators. They're expected to socially distance even from their caddies, although I think that's going to be very difficult. They're going to have testing, you know, COVID-19 testing, at least once a week, you know, daily temperature checks. They're trying to create as safe of an environment as possible. There's some risks still, I think. I think we all agree that, it's a world that's not quite ready for us to get back to normal. And yet they are going to try to at least play some sports like this with no spectators and with the ability to try to contain themselves within a bubble of people who they know are COVID free. And, you know, I think in general, it's a good plan. I think they laid out a system that can work, but it does require responsibility in the case of all the people who are there, which, you know, at any one time, there could be 300, 400, 500 people on site. Of course, they're all spread out across the golf course. But when they're away from the course, you know, they have to practice the social distancing. They're being told don't go into crowded restaurants or bars. Don't even go in them if you can avoid it. I get it. You know, all it takes is, as we're seeing, all it takes is a couple of people to upset the apple cart if they get in a situation where they are with a large group of people, a large gathering.
As I understand it, Bob, that while the players and caddies and whatnot will be monitored and the temperature taken frequently, but they will only administer one COVID test to the player. And again, as I understand it, it may take 48 hours for that result to come back. So then you could have a 36 or 54 hole leader who tests positive and has to withdraw.
Yeah, that's although possible, you're right. In theory, that could happen. Although I think what's going to happen is the testing is going to be done when they arrive. So like Monday or Tuesday. And there is still hope that they will get the rapid tests. You know, that might not happen the first event, but I think as we go along, there's going to be a chance to have tests that where you get the results within an hour, you know. There's some tests out there that are 15 minutes. I don't think they have access to that many yet. But your point is well taken. It does lead to the possibility of a guy having to withdraw once the tournament has started. But if they're tested on Monday or Tuesday, in theory, they get those results before they tee off. But let's say he shows up on Thursday and he's got a fever. you know, in theory, that is a reason to sit them down. Now, would they be able to get a rapid test right then? You know, it's that though there's some gray areas. They clearly don't want guys, you know, they clearly said if a guy tests positive, he's going to have to withdraw. So, you know, it's, this is the part of it that's tough, you know, the fact that you can be asymptomatic and have it and not know it is what makes this such a dangerous virus and why, you know, going back out is being, you know, it's being done with great caution.
You wrote about this on ESPN. It's up for the past a little bit more than an hour anyway, about it's a 37-page plan that the PGA put out. And you talked about players, but you know, you gotta, what can caddies do? I know right now in golf, we don't have rakes in the bunkers. We have a different variety of things so that the ball can't go in the bottom of the hole. And, you talked about the caddy golfer relationship is probably as big in sports as any relationship out there. And, how is that going to be taken care of?
Yeah, that is an issue that is tough for them to deal with because, you know, and I just know that a bunch of these guys are not going to adhere to it. You know, are you really going to have the player put the club back in the bag and take it out? The caddy cleans the club. You know, that's mm-hmm. part of what he does. So then, you know, they're going to have, like, wipes apparently on them. So in theory, he could wipe it down, you know, and then clean it and put it back in. Caddies, you know, they clean off the golf ball for their player. So, you know, now they can do all they can to stay away from him. You know, they could set the bag down, have him put the club back in, and they go up and they, you know, they with the towel, they grab the club and wipe it off and then wipe it down and stay away from the player. You know, they're going to be able to remove the flag sticks. The cups are going to be normal. Players are going to be retrieving their ball out of there. My understanding is the chance of transmitting it in that manner is very, very remote. It would really, really have something crazy to happen. They're going to have rakes and bunkers, and they're going to just be asked to wipe that handle down when they're done.
Yeah.
So, look, it's not perfect, certainly. What happens when they go back to the hotel? They're going to try to have them all in the same hotel. And if in theory, if it's just them and they've all been tested a day or two ago and they weren't positive and then they're only within their group, you'd like to think they're not going to get it, you know, so it can be relatively safe, you know, but what if somebody comes into the hotel who's not part of the group, you know, and then just, you know, I think they're working to make sure that all the workers and the hotel workers are tested, you know, and frankly, you know, for all of us in general, I think that's the way forward. If you want businesses to be open, you have to have the confidence that when you walk in there, that the people that you're dealing with, you know, have been tested and are COVID-free. I mean, you're going to have a hard time staying, you know, a far enough distance away from everyone, you know. And there is some evidence to suggest that it can spread farther in a closed environment. So, again, though, you know, by limiting the number of people around them, they are trying to do all they can to not allow that to occur.
Bob, what does it mean for media such as yourself? How are you going to go about your job?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, they got a lot of restrictions on what we can do on site. I mean, even at this point right now, my company is trying to decide if they're going to let us travel. You know, it's a tough issue all the way around. I mean, getting there is, you know, there's some risk in that. Although I happen to feel that at this point in time, you know, the airports are empty. The planes are virtually empty. This is maybe the best time to be traveling. You know, I mean, the airports and airlines are doing all they can to sanitize and make it safe. You have to wear a mask on a plane. You know, I think it's, you know, again, it's not perfect, but I think it's doable. But once we're there, once we're on site, less people, socially distanced media center, you know, we're not allowed to conduct one-on-one interviews with players unless it's approved. The group interviews will be done in a manner in which everyone will be spaced out, and they will probably reduce the numbers. In other words, we're not all going to be able to attend the press conference. It's going to be a challenge. It's a different world. I've been talking to a few of my colleagues about this, and you say, we're going to be inconvenienced, but so is the worker in a restaurant. He has to wear a mask and gloves and maybe a gown all day. So is the worker, at any sort of a business where they have to deal with the public. They've got to go through some difficulties. So, we're going to have to too. The players are going to have to. The workers. It's part of life for until we get a vaccine. And so there's a way to combat this.
Yeah. Bob, of course, one of your destinations, if you do get a go around and follow the tour, I would imagine would be the Quad Cities. Probably haven't been here in a while, but that is slated to be the first event with a gallery anyway, right in our backyard here. And a lot of questions floating about here in Eastern Iowa and Western Illinois and throughout the Quad Cities area about exactly how this is going to happen. Claire Peterson, who we've talked to many, many times, a tournament director, said he is nervous on how this thing is going to go, and I'm nervous for Claire.
Yeah, they're in a tough spot, because they're the first with spectators, and it's not a done deal that they will get to have them. And I'm sure from Claire's perspective, it's a tough call. Of course they want to have spectators. That's how they make their money. That's how the tournament operates. The money that the tour and the networks put up go to the players in the tour, and a very tiny amount goes to the local organizing group. They raise their money through ticket sales, birdies for charity, which I'm guessing they can still do, and we'll probably make a big push on that so they can have a nice charitable contribution. They do it through the pro-am. There's not going to be pro-ams. I don't even think there'll be pro-ams at the events with spectators. They do it through corporate hospitality. Well, it doesn't seem to make sense to be able to have a hospitality tent with 50 people in it. So where's their revenue come from? It's tough. They're being asked to put on these tournaments. The ones that are being asked to put on with no spectators, are doing so at great expense. They still have to spend money to have people on site to do various things, and he's got the benefit of seeing how a couple of other tournaments operate, but he won't have the benefit of seeing how they operate with spectators. Clearly there's gonna, if they have them, it's gonna be limited. They probably won't have grandstands. They're probably gonna have to find a way to get people spread out. I wonder about what happens if Tiger comes to a tournament. How will that work?
Yeah.
He's got the biggest crowds and, people jam packed in. You can't have that. You're going to have to, my guess is you're probably going to have to not have spectators behind a tee box with really, really in tight, the good news is for the tour is they've bought themselves some time on that. It's still 8 weeks away. I don't envy them because I don't know what the answers are really.
Yeah, let's assume that things go well and get into the fall, and you really got a jam-packed schedule with, major tournaments, the Ryder Cup, so on and so forth, and what's Augusta going to look like when it's not April, that sort of thing. So looking ahead, as we all hope things go well, it's gonna be crazy later in the year.
Yeah, it really potentially is. We're looking at having this season end in early September, having played only one major. And then we're looking at having next season having six majors, Masters and the U.S. Open twice. Mm. We're looking at having, obviously they're hoping to play the PGA still and San Francisco, although who knows what's going to happen in California with their restrictions, or talk about maybe moving it, or could, I guess that's a thought. It's tough. I guess though, again, you we all had to sort of just step back and say, you know, in the overall scheme of things, there's reasons for this. You know, we can moan and groan about the sports part of it, but, you know, it's just how it's going to be. I mean, that's life. And we're going to have to adapt. We're going to have to adapt to other sports doing things a lot differently and maybe seeming unfair to people. But, you know, I think when you look at the big picture, you realize I think we'll be happy to have it at all.
Very much so. Very much so. And it's going to be so interesting to see who is who's going to be hot coming off the break. I mean, you have absolutely no idea how this is all going to play out and how the fields are going to be, who's going to play a lot, or, you know, you have no idea at this point.
No, but I get the sense a lot of guys are going to play. I think you're going to see guys play. I think they're interested in getting back. They feel that it's a relatively safe environment. You know, they'll have been off for 3 months. You know, they'll pick their spots. I think they'll be careful. Some of these guys have the means to be able to travel on their own, which is, you know, obviously safer. And so I think at that first event, you're going to see a great field there. I really do.
Good stuff right there. And Bob, can't wait for golf, and can't wait for you to cover the real thing out there. We do have two made-for-television events, though, prior to that, and that'll be interesting. Although Tiger got it on his home course, which is an amazingly unfair advantage to the rest of them. But, you know, it's golf, and we'll have fun watching it, and it'll be for a good cause, too.
Exactly. You know, it's... I think that's the thing to take from it, not to worry too much about who does what or how good they play, or, you know, but ultimately it's going to bring awareness again to the pandemic. There's a chance to raise a significant funds 2 weeks in a row. It's a chance for golf to get some exposure at a time when nothing else is going on really. I guess there's a NASCAR race this weekend.
Yep.
But aside from that, you know, there's not much else. And I think people will tune in and hopefully they'll be entertained and whet their appetite a little bit for when the real thing starts.
Yeah. Bob, appreciate it as always. Thanks for the insight. Keep up the great work with ESPN.com, and we'll talk golf again soon.
All right, guys. Thanks so much.
All right. Bob Herrig, senior golf writer for ESPN.com, joining us at 3:50. We'll take a break, come back, have more after this here on KGYM.
Texting while driving is a very dangerous form of distracted driving. Drivers who use handheld devices while driving are 4 times as likely to get into crashes that can injure themselves or others. Drivers of all ages simply don't realize the dangers that are posed when they take their eyes and minds off the road. Everyone needs to do their part. Help save lives. Don't text and drive. This message is brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Safety, the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau, and your local law enforcement.
Imagine sports without music, the sound of a halftime show, or firing up a crowd in the bottom of the ninth. And what about the team powering out to be introduced on the court? Sports without music is like pancakes without syrup, or bacon without more bacon. It's just wrong. So get your sports here on KGYM and get all the smart rock you can handle on Smart FM, 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 in Iowa City, and on your favorite smart speaker.
There may be no games,
no practices,
no high fives,
but we're all still part of a team,
and we all have a role to play.
Right now, that means keeping our distance,
but still checking on each other,
helping the most vulnerable,
and supporting our heroes
that are keeping us safe.
Sports may be paused,
but the best parts are needed now more than ever.
So let's all do our part to help our team
right now.
Hashtag one team, ESPN.
At AutoZone, we've always been here to help you get what you need to go where you need. That hasn't changed. In need of an oil change? Right now, you can get 5 quarts of Castrol GTX High Mileage Motor Oil and an STP oil filter for just $27.99. And if you need something fast, you can get it fast, your way. Whether it's next day delivery or free same day pickup, in store or curbside, the choice is yours. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Restrictions and details on AutoZone.com.
It's time for some straight talk. Even though most live sports are on hold now, big wireless companies haven't stopped playing games. They're always trying to lock you into overpriced contracts. With Straight Talk Wireless, there are no contracts. It runs on America's best network, same as the big carriers, but you save up to 50%. $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G. You might miss sports, but don't play games, you'll lose. Straight Talk Wireless. No contracts, no compromise.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents, which means you're going to start telling your kids to clean up before the cleaning lady comes. Doesn't make sense, but you're the parent and they're the kids. You're going to start telling them that now, too. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. And there's your opening to remind them who pays the bills around here. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
We are back. Our thanks to Bob Herrig, senior golf writer for ESPN.com, for joining us. 3:53 here on the Gym Class program right here on KGYM. Todd and Alex coming your way next. Tomorrow, another good show. Jeff Linder of the Cedar Rapids Gazette will join us, and plenty to talk about with Jeff. Maybe we'll have some resolution as far as baseball and softball tomorrow. Who knows? We will talk about those possibilities. We'll talk about the Gazette Athletes of the Year. That'll be coming out. And then we'll talk about Jeff's mascot series. I know you're having fun with the mascots, Mark.
I am indeed, and I'm voting every day at thegazette.com, and just fascinated with some of these now defunct schools and their nicknames. The Web Spider is one of my favorites. Didn't know there was a Web Iowa, but
I did know always, there was a Web Iowa.
always partial to the Everly Cattle Feeders, and today we have the Zion Zephyrs. It's been kind of fun to follow, and we'll talk to Jeff about that.
Yeah, a lot of things to talk about with Jeff Linder. Always a good time. By the way, the winners today in the West Central District were East Monona, the Thunderhawks, the Lanesboro Burros, and your aforementioned Zion Zephyrs all won today.
That's disappointing. I voted for the Panama Mosquitoes in Section A. How can you not like the Panama Mosquitoes? Come on.
That somebody thought long and hard. That had to be made up during the Panama Canal digging, I would imagine, because you know there were mosquitoes down there. That was the big thing among the workers who dug the Panama Canal. So we'll talk about that with Jeff. And then on Friday, very happy to announce the fact not only will we more than likely have a topic, but, well, we'll see if we do, because we do have a guest, Mark, from Iowa basketball we're really looking forward to talking to.
Yeah, after the show yesterday, we were happy to land Jordan Bohannon, the former Linmar star. And as we reported, he getting a hardship waiver granted. He will play next season, and we'll get Jordan's thoughts on a lot of things on Friday.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Should be a lot of fun on Friday. We'll talk about his should we even get into Jordan's Twitter?
Sure.
Jordan would not do well on the football team because he stirs the pot as far as Twitter is concerned. So that'll be coming up in the next few days. On the text line, 1307, we were talking about football a little bit earlier on. Unlike California, the Louisiana State University system will have normal on-campus classes this fall. SEC will definitely play as normal. Great news. And then he followed that up, or she, with, and Brian Kelly just said on a national show that Notre Dame will likely be playing this fall. Advantage is they have less than 8,000 undergrads, easy to spread out compared to 40,000 students at most Power 5 schools. Notre Dame football continues on. The glory of the Golden Dome.
Well, I would say if the SEC doesn't have football, nobody else will either. They're going to be the leader in this, yeah, I can guarantee you. But as we talked about earlier, it's going to be, I think, a state-by-state, university-by-university decision that might require some out-of-the-box thinking. You talked about Alabama and USC perhaps not playing, and Alabama playing, what'd you say, Texas Tech?
Texas Christian, TCU.
Texas Christian, okay. Yeah. So, I think we might see more of that coming down the road.
Could we see maybe some Iowa State Drake? Not saying those two, but something like that anyway. Just coming down the line. Different circumstances with that when it happened, but still, we have no roadmap for this, as we mentioned. So, if a school needs a game, a Division II school would hop up there, I'm sure. Why not? And play somebody in Division I. So we'll see how that plays out. But we'll have our podcast up and available to you at KGYMradio.com coming up shortly after the program. Don't forget Todd and Alex coming your way next right here on KGYM. And then tomorrow we will talk to Jeff Linder of the Cedar Rapids Gazette and talk about the Zephyrs and the Mosquitoes and things like that. So looking forward to that coming up tomorrow and other mascot names that he has found. Mark, have a good night. We'll talk to you Thursday.
Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. You've been listening to The Gym Class here on KGYM, and we'll talk to you tomorrow with another episode at 3. Have a great night. Stay safe, everybody.
Guys, waking up over and over to pee is not okay. But now you can reduce those nighttime